Hello and welcome to the Autism Key podcast show. Today we're on the line with Carl Smith, who is the founder of Accelerations Educational Software. And Carl has been kind enough to come on the program today and talk about his experiences and his company. And Carl, I just want to jump right in and ask you, what were some of the circumstances that led up to the founding of Accelerations Educational Software? And can you tell me a little bit more about how the company got started?
Well, basically with my son, at 2.5, he wasn't learning anything, and then we got him into an ABA program, and finally he was learning. And basically I saw that he needed very intensive services. I mean, it took Herculean efforts to teach him every little thing, especially initially. And, I thought, well, technology certainly could help out with this, since, ABA was very data driven, and then the computers are great environments for providing reinforcers and so on. So, the fundamental idea was, if we can get these kids learning at least some of what we need to know on their own time, then, we can take them, further on virtually the same educational dollar. Now, at first I looked for other packages, out there, and I didn't find really much of anything. I found a couple of early attempts in this area, and actually after contacting developers and so on, they really didn't have this vision of of this tool that had lots and lots of stuff in it, a real robust program. And then after trying their tools and stuff, which didn't really, really meet the objective, I created a tool for Carl initially, and he responded to that. And then I got it out to local school districts for free, and they basically, started using it. So the first question was, is this something useful, beyond my son's, ability to use it, would teachers be able to use it and find it useful and so on. And, so they actually, did do that, and they had some suggestions on what to do with the product to make it more appropriate for the classroom and so on. So I did those things. And then, over time I got involved with researchers, and I took it to conferences, because one thing is I couldn't really believe that I hadn't that somebody else hadn't already done this and done a job, at it. So I took it to conferences and make sure that I didn't reinvent the wheel, basically. And I met, various researchers and educators and autism, experts, and, got critical feedback, but also feedback that, I was doing something that was breaking new ground. And I met my research partner, like Dr. Robert Stromer and many other people that were able to help guide the evolution of the tools. Both, we feel it's important to listen to both researchers and educators in terms of evolving the best, the best tools and so on. And so that's how it all got started. And people liked this, mission that we had both for effective, and yet affordable. And I had found that the research itself hadn't been making it to practice was the fundamental thing. There was actually people like Stromer had been showing that things like discrete trials could be done on the computer, for actually quite a long time. He had been researching for about 15 years at that point. And so there was plenty of evidence that this could be done. It's just that nobody hadn't actually applied, taken that evidence or that research to practice. So, that was kind of the critical link or the missing link that I could help fill.
Sure, and you had mentioned that you went off and developed it yourself when there wasn't a solution for Carl, but obviously a lot of people can't just go off and do that. So what are some of the experiences and what kind of backgrounds you come from to be able to say, hey, I want to start up my own software program?
Well, actually I have a number of related experiences or kind of beneficial experiences that helped me do this. One thing is that I've always been on the periphery of psychology. As in the military, I was a drug and alcohol counselor. My area in school was artificial intelligence, so I was taking courses in cognitive and behavioral psychology. I was doing readings in neurology and also studying linguistics and psycholinguistics and other kinds of related things. And I was also, I've also been a teacher, a long-term tutor. I've seen people, people that weren't good at particular things, with enough determination, actually learn those things. And with, you know, the studies of neurology, there's a concept called brain plasticity. And, you know, so if you push on the brain long enough and hard enough, it can adapt. It can overcome a lot of issues and so on. So a lot of this stuff kind of came together, and, you know, from understanding the problems and what behavioral psychology was bringing to the table here in terms of, you know, a solution. Then I'm also an electrical engineer, like I said, with a concentration on artificial intelligence. So in electrical engineering, you learn a lot about computer, both building computers, but also writing software. And so really over the last 20 years, I've been a long-term programmer, consultant. I've worked for, on projects for United Nations, Tennessee Valley Authority, Sandia Labs, Los Alamos Labs, BDM, NCR, AT&T. So I've worked on a lot of, you know, or for a lot of, you know, big companies and small companies and on some really interesting projects and so on. But, basically building software for these places. But sometimes, you know, we have up to, $100 million budgets and, you know, and so on to build things. But, so I had the software development. Also, I had started a company a long time, so I'd been exposed to, actually, I had a few companies starting out as a kid. Mowed lawns, and that turned into a landscape company, and then I've also had a technology company before. So I had some of the, you know, related business, background. So basically the education side, the AI, the technology, you know, side. I had been a graduate student for a couple of years. I did a couple years of graduate work, and so that got me into kind of the more of the research and working with academics and that kind of thing, going to conferences, presentations at conferences, and that whole area. So I was pretty much comfortable in the different areas that I needed to be in, you know, in order to do this. But, you know, I also went through a lot of go, no-go decision points. And I wasn't going to just throw good money after bad. If I was just inventing the wheel or whatever, or reinventing the wheel, I was going to, you know, stop and probably jump on board with whatever the better solution that I found. But I didn't find that, so I kept going. And now we're in, you know, over 900 school districts and 240 or almost 50 private schools and service providers, and thousands of homes and a couple of foreign markets, and, you know, staff of 10 people. So, you know, it seems like, you know, a bunch of people think we're on the right track, and we've got a second product now. So it's all, you know, going in the right direction, or going in a direction to basically make an impact. We're impacting now something like 10,000 or so kids with autism, and another 20,000 additional kids with other learning disabilities.
Well, let's talk about that second product, the video modeling software, the Activity Trainer. Can you kind of walk us through the functionality of it and kind of the ease of use for the user and for the parent or caregiver, and kind of explain a little bit more about that product and walk us through the process of using it?
All right. Well, the product is designed to, you know, to solve another fundamental problem. And like I said, with the DT Trainer, was designed to make kids an independent learner on at least some of what you know. And that was basically teaching them concepts and, you know, labels and things like that. The Activity Trainer was designed to teach them activities or how to do things. And it was created because, you know, there's been about 20 years of research on video modeling showing how it decreases acquisition rates, but this technique has never made it to common practice. So we went in and looked at, well, what's the disconnect here? Why isn't this very, very powerful teaching method, something with so much research behind it, just not happening regularly in our classrooms and so on? And it turned out that nobody had ever created a player, you know, so you couldn't, regular media players didn't support playing little snippets of the video, you know, precisely, like, you know, so if you do your kind of what's called task analysis, and that is breaking down the activity into little parts, you know, regular media player has no support for playing that little part precisely and then replaying it and so on. You can kind of scan back, try to find it, you know, and so on. And we're working with a, you know, potentially not, you know, totally cooperative child, that can become a very difficult thing to do. And there's no support for sequences, there's no organization of the materials, just a lot of disadvantages with trying to use something that was really designed to do something else and not video modeling. So again, with Stromer and then input with other people that are that basically had been doing a substantial amount of video modeling, those people that were, you know, we were creating a tool, we created a tool that would make it easier for them, but also, you know, having in mind the person, you know, that high school educated teaching assistant in the classroom, because that's the most common person that's face to face with our more moderate, severely impaired students and children and so on. So we had to make it so those easy enough for them and yet, you know, powerful enough for your experts and so on. So, you know, we worked on that from, again, with researcher and teacher input to, you know, create it, create the activity trainer. It basically, you know, it supports everything from the task analysis, so you can play little pieces of an activity very easily. It organizes the materials by student, just like what the DT trainer does. So when you're working with a particular student, you know, it's very easy to get to the different things that you're wanting to do with that student. It keeps track of the data. It supports sequences. So once you've taught them the individual steps, you can basically teach them the sequences. You know, there's things called back chaining and forward chaining methods. It supports that. It also is integrated with a visual schedule system because we know that a lot of, especially in the autism population, a lot of them are very visual learners and visual techniques tend to be very, you know, are usually successful with them. So these things called visual schedules and a way to help them organize their time, something that's very powerful. We organize the activities or put a visual schedule system into the activity trainer. So it's actually a second product there too. The activity trainer allows users to build their own materials, but we know that people aren't either very skilled or you know experienced with doing that, or even have sufficient time. So we basically are building a large library. It already has well over 200 activities released for it, and it'll be soon up over 300, and it'll continue to grow from there. So we're adding activities, everything from academic kinds of things, fine motor, daily living, recreation, social, vocational, communication, social, just a number of different areas that we're working on content for. But then the user, you know, had their own materials. But the way that you use it with a student, for example, with my own son, first thing I did with it is I taught him how to tie his shoes, and I had been working on teaching him how to tie his shoes for probably over 4 years and probably hundreds of hours of attempted and failed teaching time. But with the activity trainer, it took about an hour in the first week, you know, on the computer, and about an hour off the computer on the second week, actually transitioning to his foot. And so about 2 hours of teaching time over a couple of week period. And by the end of that time, he was totally independent on tying his shoes. So it took failed and frustrating teaching and turned it into quite trivial teaching. So what I did basically is I started out with the little segment of shoe tying, just crossing the laces over each other, which was a pretty easy one to do. So I would basically, you know, click on the mouse to, you know, to have it play that little segment. And then in parallel, I'm basically working hand over hand with him to, you know, to get him to reproduce the behavior. But then, so the first time, you know, I'm basically working on fine motor and gross motor and everything to do this. But, you know, the principle is you make them successful. You give them no choice. So you get them to do the activity or that part. And that actually was pretty easy to do, just crossing the laces over each other. And so within about 3 or 4 trials, you know, I'd do it once, you know, help them do it. The next time I would back off my facilitation of him, I would just touch his the backs of his wrists and stuff, and then I would move it to his elbows and stuff. And so you're fading your prompting or your guide, your facilitation, you're fading that through successive trials. And so, like I said, within just a few trials of that one step, he was totally independent. And, you know, and I worked on a few steps the first day, and I went back, and the next day I did more. And then within a few days, then I was able to start working on kind of sequencing the steps, and actually took the 3 middle steps and got him to do that because that was kind of the harder part of shoe tying. And then I just tacked on the beginning and the end. So he's tabletop. He's working with a shoe. You know, basically I put a little piece of newspaper on the table with a shoe on it. And then, so it's very easy for me to reach his hands and what he's doing. And at the same time, I'm controlling the laptop and, you know, getting it to play the little segment of that, of the video. And then I'm able to work on the sequences and it's also, you know, coaching him on the language, cross the laces over each other. So he's learning the associated language with each step and so on. So in the second week when we'd be working on his foot and so on, and if he would do the wrong thing, I'd say no, cross the laces, and he would actually understand that and be able to help do that. So it took very little hand over hand at that point, getting him to do this on his foot. And like I say, by the end of the second week, he was just totally, totally independent. So here's a situation where it didn't just improve the acquisition rate. I mean, it enabled acquisition because acquisition was not occurring otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I guess you had mentioned some of the things that you're adding on to Activity Trainer. Do you have any plans for maybe another product launch, or what are kind of the near and long-term goals for AES right now?
Well, we have another product called Speech Teach, which would work on another fundamental area. And this Dr. Bill Hutchinson had actually built this in the early 2000s, and then they lost their funding in the dot-com collapse and so on. And, you know, and he had been watching us as another behaviorally based program, and he'd been watching us for a while and came to us, and, you know, we're basically taking over his program, putting our front end. You know, the only problem with it was the management part, you know, the administration part. You know, so we basically are just wrapping our front end around its back end and, you know, coming up kind of with a hybrid product that, you know, will give a really kind of a comfortable environment for our kids to practice their speech. You know, and, you know, that's another critical area, just making them more willing and more confident in their ability to speak. And, you know, with working with also all the time, it's something that's very, you know, very, you know, nervous. I mean, they're really not in, you know, no matter how much we try to make ourselves non-threatening, you know, they are not very comfortable in many cases, you know, with speaking with us and everything. So this will be another environment or an environment that will remove that threat, you know, type of issue, because they tend to like to work with a computer or or they like to watch TV and stuff. They're comfortable with that, non-threatening to them. So this will give them a way to do that. Then the fourth area is actually a thing called remote mentoring, and it's a product concept right now, but we want to, you know, connect this. Right now there's a kind of a small number of experts, and there's massive sea of individuals, you know, that are supporting our more moderate and severe kids, especially. And normally it takes about 20 years for educational methodology to really become ingrained into the, you know, educational system. Well, with technology, why should it really take that long? And, you know, if we can get the experts out of their cars, we can increase the number of people they can impact by 3 or 5 or 10 times. And so this product would allow for that long-term mentoring, and that's the critical thing that's missing, and that is our, you know, our more moderate, or the teaching assistant and the teacher. They can't just go to a workshop and learn how to, you know, work with our kids. It takes, you know, that plus, you know, having their behavior shaped over a long period of time, you know, with somebody that really understands what to look for and how to do this. So the teacher and the aide, they don't even know enough initially or, you know, for a good while to be able to describe to the remote expert what's going on. So that person, the remote expert, needs to be able to see and hear. So we have this concept of a bundle of tools, and I've built some things for United Nations and so on that would be components of this. I did 20 years ago, I did some of the aspects of this that would be applicable here. But there's a little suite of tools that would facilitate that remote mentoring process and, you know, allow that remote expert, you know, they'll become much more efficient and therefore cost effective for the school districts hiring them. And it'll also be independent of service providers, so they'll be able to connect to in district staff, also external resources from multiple companies or service providers. So anyway, this will be a backbone that will facilitate the acceleration of kind of the educating of our teachers and teaching assistants, and those people that are most directly in contact, and parents too, that are most directly in contact with these very difficult to educate individuals.
Can you give some contact information for anyone who may be listening of how they can get a hold of someone at your company or your free 30-day trials and those sorts of things?
Well, our website is www.dttrainer.com, DT, and then discrete trial, and then trainer, TRAINER.com. Our phone numbers and other contact information is up there, and also our trials are there. There's a free 30-day trial for either of our current products. Also, if you decide, to purchase the products, they can buy them over the web, or school districts send us POs and stuff. But we really designed this to be, our prices to be affordable, so we charge about one-tenth of what other typical commercial companies would charge in the space for this, for this kind of product.
Okay, today we've been on the line with Carl Smith, founder of Accelerations Educational Software. Carl, we appreciate you coming on the podcast program today and explaining a little bit more about your company and your services, and we look forward to hearing some great things from you all in the near future.
You're welcome. Thank you.